Good morning, everyone.
It's time for Michigan Sports Talk Morning Show, broadcasting live all across the state of Michigan and Northwest Ohio. This is X's and Bros.
How are you?
How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Here's your host, Anthony Bellino.
Rise and shine, folks. Good Feel Good Friday morning to you. It is the fifth day of April. We are already here, 2024. It is opening day. Man. A home opener for the Detroit Tigers coming up a little bit later. We've actually got a trifecta of Detroit sports, if I'm not mistaken, tonight. Not only will you get the Tigers opening day at 1 o'clock, but you'll also get the Detroit Red Wings coming up at 7 o'clock. And, if I'm not mistaken, you'll also be on the hook tonight for a little shooty hoops as the Pistons are in Memphis. So we've got a real pure April in the D moment tonight. A triple header with two of the three coming from downtown. The April in the D thing, I mean, I can't get enough of it. Now is the time. I wish that Bally would bring that back. Just bring it. Don't try to recreate it either. Bring back the original video. The original song, and let's just run with it. Let's just have some fun, shall we? All right, what's going on in the world of sports? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
All right, so let me get this straight. As a part of this deal, the blockbuster, if you will, we love that term, Stephon Diggs going to the Houston Texans. The Texans have now wiped out the final 3 years of his contract. They just hit it with an eraser, giving him the ability to become a free agent after the season. The Texans also took the $3.5 million guaranteed to Diggs next season, moved it up into this season, giving him a raise, giving him $22.52 million in guaranteed money in 2024. They acquired Diggs Wednesday, sending a 2025 second-round pick via the Minnesota Vikings to Buffalo. Houston also acquired two draft picks, a 2024 sixth-rounder and a 2025 fifth-rounder. The Texans acquired that 2025 second-round pick from the Vikings when they traded their 2024 first-rounder to Minnesota last month. I mean, the Texans expect to get the best version of Diggs, who, you know, new contract and free agent opportunity. The three-time captain with the Bills, Stephon Diggs, signed a four-year, $104 million contract extension with the team in April of 2022. The Bills carry a dead money charge of $31 million next season. And look, the guy didn't do a whole lot at the back end of the season. I actually like this deal for Houston. They said, you know, no, we're going to give you the opportunity to explore free agency. It's a smart, and Diggs took it. What? Are you kidding me? Why would you do that? Just play out the rest of your original deal. Because what the Houston Texans did is they said, hey, we're going to give you a raise this year. Like, this is so obvious. We're going to give you a raise this year, and we'll allow you to be a free agent next year. So what that does is you gave them the raise this year and overpaid them this year, which is totally fine. It doesn't matter. They're going for it. Like, the hell with it. YOLO, as the kids say. And then if he doesn't perform, he's a free agent, and you're not on the hook anymore. Like, it's brilliant. If I'm all right, Houston. Okay. Texas is great. By the way, the Houston Texans, like, Jerry's World might have the brand from the 90s, but I think it's we got to sit down and have that conversation. Outside of a really rough start to the Houston franchise, poor David Carr, just getting sacked left and right, got to get rid of the football. You have to really look at Houston. They are Texas's team. They're the better club. They are the better club. They were down in the dumps. And then they popped up with, what, coach of the year and rookie of the year on both sides of the football? Good for them. I'm happy for them. And you play in the AFC South. You got Indy, whose quarterback got hurt last year. Jacksonville's quarterback got hurt last year. Tennessee, who just their whole franchise is injured. Not physically, but, you know, upstairs. Like, what are they doing? Man, really interesting. It's Houston's division. They know this. The Trevor Lawrence Jacksonville stuff, like, I mean, that's really interesting. Detroit Red Wings get the New York Rangers tonight, Battle Royale in Detroit. Red Wings in the playoff race right now. We went through the standings and everything else. It's not a must win. It's probably a can't lose. The Athletics are going to play at a minor league park before their Vegas residency. I hate this, but I understand this. The owners don't care. Let me be abundantly clear here. You can kick and scream as much as you want. The players aren't happy. They're going to go to a minor league ballpark in Sacramento. That's right, West Sacramento. This agreement with Sacramento is a three-year lease with a team option for a fourth year in case their ballpark isn't done in Las Vegas. The A's will share Sutter Health Park, which holds roughly 14,000 fans, with the Sacramento Rivercats, the Giants' AAA team. Imagine making it all the way to the majors than having to go back and play at a AAA stadium. That part doesn't matter. Like, this A's roster, I'm not worried about that. If I'm the Oakland A's ownership and management, they want Las Vegas, they're going to get Las Vegas. That's just, it just is what it is. I'm interested. I don't know. I can't remember if I've seen the renderings. I don't think that the, you know, city of Vegas, the actual residents of Las Vegas, should have to pay for it, but Vegas is growing and expanding at a rapid pace. They got stuff getting knocked down, stuff getting built up. Like, it's, you know, that's a, you know, they look at the success that the NHL's had, look at the success that the Raiders have had. And the fact that the NBA, who's been playing their summer league games out there for how long, couldn't figure this out before the other three leagues, to me, is just, you know, I mean, look, David Stern was too involved, in my opinion. He wanted to be the puppet master. They wanted to run that league like WWE, right? Like, we have the script. I don't like that. And I understood why he put the dress code in, right? I get it. Perception is reality, right? So your image and how you want your guys to conduct themselves. Oh, okay. I understand that too. That's fine. But Adam Silver taking this thing and, you know, people want to rip on Rob Manfred. I think Adam Silver gives him a run for his money. And you could ask the players are like, oh, it's crazy. We love Adam Silver. Of course you love Adam Silver. I'm here for business. I don't care about the rest of it. Like, let's do business here. The Stars are already taken care of by their individual franchises. Don't worry about that. There's way too much money in that sport to begin with. Like, the fact that they have their Vegas Summer League out there that does crazy numbers, and they couldn't get a franchise to Vegas before the Oakland Athletics? Oh, my goodness. That was it. It's Vegas and Seattle. You bring back the Supersonics. They already have everything you need, and it's nostalgic. Those are your two teams. And you move Memphis to the Eastern Conference. I've already solved this problem. After being the commissioner of college football, after being the commissioner of the PGA Tour, I will go ahead and be the commissioner of the NBA. I got time. I don't need to touch the NFL. Roger Goodell does a great job. You can hate him all you want. That league is a powerhouse. I'm not worried about that. I can fix all the other stuff. And Ryan, you be the commissioner of Major League Baseball. And there you go. Now we've solved all of our problems. NC State's DJ Byrne says he has zero interest in playing football. He's 6'9", listed at 275 pounds, listed at. I'm going to be honest. It's really cool, he said yesterday, but that's not why we're here. So I'll worry about that when we get done. We got to get some wins first. Pretty everybody needs a story to keep it interesting. Maybe there was too much downtime for people to think or something. But I ain't playing no football. Seton Hall rallies late, tops Indiana State and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to win the NIT title. Congratulations to Seton Hall. The Coyotes are ready to bid on an arena site for June 27th in a land auction. That's always fun. The Warriors, Klay Thompson, took issue with the Rockets' Eason after their key win. Here's the deal. Tari Eason wore a shirt that said Warriors come out and play and then didn't play in the game. That's a terrible look. What's the matter with you? 76ers win in dramatic fashion last night against the Heat. Gives them a chance to avoid the play-in game and the standings. We'll get into that probably next week. The Knicks' Julius Randle is going to have season-ending shoulder surgery, so he is out. And the Detroit Tigers throw out the first pitch today at 1:10 against the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Athletics. We'll step aside, back with more X's and Bros coming at you next. We're going to dive into the Detroit Red Wings here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
Save big on fuel with M-Perks. Earn points on your Meijer purchases in-store and online. Then use your points to claim a fuel reward and save up to $1 off per gallon of gas at Meijer. Claim your M-Perks fuel rewards in the Meijer app and ID at the pump to save. Plus, earn points for qualifying Meijer Express purchases and look for exclusive Meijer Express offers. Download the Meijer app to sign up or see Meijer.com to learn more. 10 cents to $1 off per gallon based on points earned. Exclusions apply. Not valid in Wisconsin. Max 30 gallons.
Traverse City to the Glass City, GR to the Motor City. You're listening to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network. Great to have you ride along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio. An unofficial holiday for all Detroit Tigers fans as it is opening day. 2024. Yeah, very exciting. Interested to see how the guys are going to play today. That much is for certain. I mean, it has a long extended stay there with the New York Metropolitans. But first two series, right, just win series. Just win the series. Take 2 out of every 3 games. You know, you split your 4-game series, you're in really good shape. Really good shape. And, you know, for them to start off 2 series wins back-to-back, it's good. Very good. Now, get into the Detroit Red Wings, part 2 of the Detroit triple header today between the Tigers, Red Wings, and then later on the Detroit Pistons. The Red Wings, they need this. I don't want to say this is a must win, but it's a can't lose. And this is really a tough game for this Detroit Red Wings club right now. The Rangers, who are 51-21-4, first place in the Metropolitan Division. Obviously, the Wings, a game under 500 at 37-30-8, which equals 37-38. Red Wings trying to keep their 3-game home winning streak alive against these Rangers. They're 21-11-5 at home. New York, 24-11-4 on the road. The Rangers are 23-11 in games they score 1 or more goals on the power play. So special teams is going to be an absolute must to stay sharp. And you know you're going to get baited. You know Matt Rempe is going to be out there. You know he's going to be doing some shenanigans. This is a discipline game. Now, the other night, I had myself a moment. I was like, I don't know. It was 2 weeks ago, a week ago, I don't know. I get home, I'm watching the Wings. I've got a cocktail. And I'm feeling a little froggy on the internet. Because we aren't. The Detroit Red Wings right now are not at a stage where they're going to be able to out-finesse people, right? Because you think about it like this. You have Larkin, Kane, DeBrincat, Lucas Raymond. Those 4 right there. You could put those 4 right there at the forward position on any team in the National Hockey League, and they're going to play. And they're going to play well. Like, those 4 guys right there. All right, but you got 12 forwards dressed. You see what I'm saying here? The blue line is, anyways, the point of this is that we don't have enough in order to be able to out-finesse teams. So we got to play a really well in our structure. We got to really focus on doing what we do well and play in that. Okay? Because what happens is, and this happened the other night, it was the Florida Panthers game is what I was watching. I was so angry. Watch it. I haven't been that worked up about a game in a while. I haven't probably since a Lions game, right? And the last Lions game was more like, oh man, that really happened. Shoot. That was more disappointment. I was angry watching that Red Wings game. Because although we can't out-finesse anybody, we can't out-tough anybody either. We just can't. Like, Florida, here's the key to the Red Wings. If I'm playing the Red Wings, here's my strategy to beat them. Harass them. Beat the hell out of them. Who are you going to worry about? Nobody. They ain't worry about anybody. Mo Sider's big and he can hit. That's great, but he ain't not going to fight you. What am I worried about? You can test anybody on that team. So they don't have the number of guys to be able to out-finesse you. And they don't have that guy, because even though that guy doesn't exist, I don't care if you went and picked up Penei Sewell and skates like a four-year-old. It wouldn't matter to me. We need somebody out there that is going to deliver some pain on a regular basis. And I mean, I may have tweeted out irresponsibly that I don't care that the guy skates like a six-year-old. I want him going in elbows high. I do. I am so sick and tired of watching this team get bullied up and down the ice. It drives me insane. It drives me insane. I'm not saying you got to be Matt Rempe and go out there and fight everybody all the time. I'm saying you need a little grind line. That's what you need. You need a little grind line out there. Somebody's got to buckle down tonight and say, hey, tonight, this is our job. We are going to go bat bleep crazy every shift. And we're going to hit some people. Right? We're going to take a kneecap. When we get knocked down, we're going to come back up. We're going to take another kneecap. Like, we are not very gritty. We are not very gritty. And we do not have the strength in numbers when it comes to the skill game either. So we find ourselves in this really weird predicament. Because right now, I would employ Bautista if I could. Like, could Conor McGregor loan us a couple shifts? All he's got to do is stand in the middle. He doesn't have to move. And just clean out whoever comes across the mat. And I mean, we need to come out there with a certain level of violent aggression that we haven't seen yet. That's how you're going to beat the Rangers. Somebody, and if Matt Rempe's out there, and somebody's got to say, I'm going to knock this kid out. That's what it's got to be. That's what it's got to be. Knock him out. Out cold. Unstrap your helmet. Take it off. Drop it on the ice. He'll do the same. He will. I don't know why we're punching people with helmets. Well, it's a penalty. You're going to the box anyways. Who cares? Take your helmet off. You're going to break your hand? What's the matter with you? You punch somebody with a helmet on. I never understood. They do it in football all the time. It's like, what are you doing punching somebody wearing a helmet? Is that elevator not reaching the top up there, Chief? Huh? What's the matter with you? You a couple beers short of a six-pack? We need some violence, and we need it immediately. That's why, I mean, that's why football and hockey, and I know in football they want to take it all out, and they want to put the flags on them. They want it to be 7-on-7. They want them wearing the mushroom helmets. No. At the end of the day, it's about intimidation. It's about moving people that don't want to be moved. It's about imposing your physical will. That's what separates the game. That's why not everybody can play this. Tonight, we need some violence. I'm calling on the Detroit Red Wings to engage in criminal mischief. I am calling on the Detroit Red Wings tonight to play with an attitude and an aggression that we haven't seen. I am tired of watching this team get the fight taken to them. You know what's a really good idea? Strike first. Speed, surprise, violence of action. Play fast, catch them off guard, and get violent out there. And I don't mean those little baby hits where you just run them into the wall. I mean elevate your strike zone, if you know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be irresponsible here, but I'm trying to get my point across. We need to be able to play with a certain level of aggression and violence that catches the Rangers off guard. Because everybody knows. You watch a Florida game, we look like junior high kids. You watch that Florida Panthers game, we're just the whole time. Just getting ran over. Just getting beat up out there. And it's like somebody's got to fight back. Please. Please, I'd rather have four quarters than 100 pennies. Somebody fight back. Take a swing at anything. It doesn't matter. I'm watching this. You know, the part that got me, I forget who it was, Matthew Tkachuk. I'm telling you, I was irate. I'm sitting here, I'm grabbing the corner of my lazy boy, just like squeezing it, because I'm watching Matthew Tkachuk bully Lucas Raymond and nobody do anything. He's just got Lucas by the jersey and just going back and forth, and Lucas looking like a bobblehead. You got to just wind up and clean him out, dude. The suspension does not matter. It doesn't matter. Stop going out there like we're going to a ballet. We need Jon Snow, Battle of the Bastards out there is what we need. That's the name of the episode, so don't get all crazy. That's the name of the actual episode. We need him to, like, one guy in the middle of the field unsheathing his sword with enough gall, enough intestinal fortitude to take the fight to the New York Rangers tonight. That's what we need. I need somebody that is going to be willing to take a little pain to send a message. And if it means you got to go elbows high, so be it. Knock somebody out. What do I care? Do what needs to be done. Speed, surprise, violence of action. We'll step aside. The coach, Cal Barlow, joins us.
My good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
There's a new player in town. Hi, I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking about Eagle Casino and Sports, the real money mobile casino. It's so easy to play. You can go from wager to winner to wallet just like that.
Sign up now and we'll match your deposit up to $1,500. Or you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
This is X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Ben Glaze, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Approaching March Madness. We could not have March Madness and not have our usual weekly with our good buddy, who was a GA under John Beilein at the University of Michigan, a Concordia alum, and now patrols the sidelines at Ohio University, but now is in Phoenix for the Final Four. His name, Kyle Barlow, the coach. Coach Barlow, nobody's happier than this guy, folks. The Tigers are 5-1.
5-1, man. And then we got boots on the ground in Arizona. Did it for the program, man. That's the only reason I'm down here. I needed to give the program a great look at what's coming up. Some of the players, some of the open practices of what you'll see on Saturday night, what they're saying. So I did it for the program, man.
I'm glad you did it for us. I'm sorry. Yep. Were you talking about Ohio's program? This program or that program?
No. I did it for us.
Oh, for us.
Bros.
Look at
us. Bellino. What are you doing?
Look at us. Who would have thought, huh? Look at us. So I want to get first to the president of the college, the Basketball Writers Association, is our good friend Brendan Quinn. And he finally got a one-on-one with former Michigan head coach Juwan Howard. They met up in a restaurant somewhere off of South State Street, according to the article. Have you had a chance to read that yet?
I did. Sliding in the back door. And I don't blame him, man. I don't blame him. I'm sure, you know, he's not a guy you can hide. So I'm sure he's never one who's wanted that attention. Kind of what the article pointed out in a lot of different ways, but I thought it was really good, man. I thought it was, you know, Juwan who, you know, kind of let his side out and kind of cleared the air on a lot of things. And just like anything, man, when you get two sides to one story, whether it be, you know, the Sanderson incident, whether it be just how he handled the program, but also his heart condition, right, and his surgery that he had, and what kind of stuff he went through. Like, that terrified me when I heard that. I'm like, geez, am I getting a little short out of breath, or am I just out of shape? Like, you know, that's terrifying stuff, man. And for him to be a competitor and try and come back, and now he definitely regrets that, like you said. But just really good overall. And you would expect nothing less of Brendan Quinn, you know, who always has a great way of painting the picture with his words. This sounds so cliche, but really good stuff. What did you think?
I thought it was excellent. I really enjoyed the article. I was happy to hear from Juwan Howard. I tried multiple times to get him on the airwaves here with us. That didn't work. And it was just one of those things where, like, he wasn't going to be available. And it was like, if you didn't get him at the normal presser, you weren't going to be able to have an opportunity to develop a relationship. So there are certain questions that I had, and, you know, certain things that I wanted to know, frankly. And I thought that this interview with Brendan Quinn captured a lot of what everybody wanted to know post-firing. I think even throughout the process of the program, you know, trying to, you know, figure out, you know, what he thought the directions were and things of that nature, those are easy questions. But, you know, after the fact, to be able to sit down and have a one-on-one, we hear more about the medical, we hear more about the incident with John Sanderson, you know, we get to hear more about just how he thought where he thought the program was going. And then the decision from Ward to move on and go to Dusty May. Did we get a chance to talk about that? What you thought about that hire, by the way?
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, I think everybody will tell you it's a great hire, right? you know, I listened to your reaction on the air after the day after it happened. And I kind of had a similar take as well. You know, like, hey, everybody's telling you that's the best coach out there. You know, Louisville, I guess, was all over him. You know, and some, it didn't work out. Ohio State, apparently, but it didn't work out. So, yeah, I guess it was the best hire on the market. But, you know, I think he'll do a great job from what I know of him and, you know, what I've read and what I've heard about him. But it still remains to be seen, man. I think you win the press conference. But as we all know, you got to win games, too. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to follow it.
Yeah, I made sure to text him too, and I didn't want to get any tampering. And I was just like, "Hey, coach, by the way, I know a former GA." Anyways, you're there in Phoenix for the Final Four. I mean, I thought it's March Madness, right? It's one of the great times of the year. Many can argue that this is the best time of the year because for a month straight, college basketball takes center stage. It offers us the most electric weekend in sports. And then all of a sudden, you get through the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and then it kind of feels like we're just kind of waiting around for Saturday's doubleheader, mm-hmm. right? It's just kind of like a lull in the action right now, which is interesting. But two great games, NC State and Purdue. DJ Burns, most people didn't know that he was the number three recruit out of South Carolina. Number one in his class was Zion. The dude's 48 years old, taking on Zach Edey. That'll be a lot of fun. Alabama against UConn in game number two. What stands out to you about these two matchups? What maybe is the most glaring, observation that you're ready to look at for these games?
I think, but even when the tournament started, I think we were all like hoping for, you know, this tournament to lead to a Purdue versus UConn, like two of the best defensive teams in the country, two of the most like highly like ball movement on one side, you know, ball movement teams, player movement, fascinating offensive sets in Purdue and UConn. But now you kind of look at these matchups and, you know, we'll talk Purdue, NC State first, but you look at these matchups, it's very intriguing because DJ Burns is one of those guys who can score 1v1 in the post. It doesn't matter if it's Zach Edey or Shaquille O'Neal. Like, he's going to find an angle. He's that good. His feet are that good. His footwork are that good. And he has that good a touch. So knowing that Purdue never double teams because they don't need to because they got Zach Edey, is this a game where DJ Burns can carry them and carry them to victory and go off? You know, and I think that's very intriguing. You know, I think Purdue's a team that they want Zach Edey in the game. He played 39 minutes against Tennessee, which how many 7-foot plus guys do you see out there who can play 39 minutes? And if you watch, it's how they play. On a make, they are not trying to run. Or on a miss, they are not trying to run. Their coaches are going there, putting the stop signs up, getting their whiteboard out, writing their swivel, punch, blast, middle third, whatever you want to call it, on their whiteboard. And, you know, some coaches say that, you know, they never run the same play twice in a game. You know, they can run 30 to 35 different sets within a game and just keeping you off balance. And that's where Matt Painter's a wizard. So that being said, you can offensive rebound on them. I think NC State's got to crash and get those extra possessions because Purdue is so efficient on offense because they do slow it down. They do get Edie in the game for 39 minutes. So it's always tricky because you're like, okay, well, let's get running. Let's get up and down. Let's make Zach Edey tired, right? Let's get him running. But if you run on offense, run one way, and you miss a couple wide open threes or tough shots or quick shots, then Purdue is just going to squeeze the life out of you. Similar, honestly, it's similar to that boa constrictor graphic that everybody would play for Michigan football this year, where it's like they just slowly squeeze you. And if you make a couple mistakes, you know, Michigan in the second half of the third quarter, that's when they'll bust out to that big run, right? And just after halftime, you know, a lot of teams have been close at the half with Purdue, but they just slowly bleed you out in a 60-possession game. So that one's going to be very fascinating to see what NC State does. What do you think about that analysis before we move on to the other one?
I mean, catch my breath. I think that's great. I love the point about the slowing down the pace for Purdue because I think that, you know, it's so often it's a copycat league, right? So I feel like with the Steph Curry long ball revolution, everybody was talking about pace and space, and maybe a little bit before then, but, you know, Chris Bosh and the Miami Heat, you know, him playing the five and going to that strong corner, really, they weren't the first to do it, obviously, but it kind of emphasized that this is a new era that we're ushering in with basketball, where big men, you know, you could play the five maybe as a more traditional power forward, but you could play the five and we can go a little bit smaller. We put so much emphasis on spacing out the floor and getting up and down the court and how many possessions and points per possession and holy analytics, right? Threes are better than twos. You know what I mean? And it's interesting how Purdue is maybe a little bit of a throwback to because they have to protect the big man's legs. My question is, who's going to protect the big man from fouling out? It's going to be the refs.
I mean, he had one foul against Tennessee. And Painter, who hasn't received a tech in 10 years, according to him, I'm not going to fact check him, but he was going ballistic after they called one foul on Zach Edey. So it's like it really, you know, our friend Courtney Green on the game, or could be on the game. We don't know until an hour before tip, but he's a Final Four ref. So you wonder if that guys like Courtney Green and the other Big Ten refs that are there, Paul Zelk, and then there's one name that escapes me as well. You wonder if it's those guys on the game. Is that advantage Purdue because they've ref Zach Edey before, they know how to ref him, or is that advantage NC State because they know that basically everything's a foul and how they make it look as opposed to if it's really a foul? What do you think? Do you think it helps or hurts Purdue to have a Big Ten ref or two on the game?
Oh, man, I think it hurts. I would rather have people that are unfamiliar that are just so in awe because, I mean, the guy, like, look, and I say this every time Purdue plays, I'm enamored by the fan bases that are so caught up in their first time being able to witness him live and in living color in the way that he just rumbles around. And you either move or you get ran over. Like, it just kind of is what it is. The guy's 7'4". He's one of the largest humans on the planet. He's gonna bounce you around a little bit. In game number two, we have Alabama taking on UConn. Your guy, Mark Sears, got an NBA comp to Jalen Brunson this week, which I was like, ooh, that's kind of fun. Maybe we can get Marcus Sears to the Pistons. I would be a fan of that.
It's funny that teams, that people have been saying that ever since he was in the MAC, right? But he wasn't on the big enough stage. You said, wow, he kind of reminds me a lot of Jalen Brunson. And, you know, the one thing, and people will criticize that statement I've seen too, because like, Jalen Brunson is a demon in the mid game, right? He operates in the mid range, jump stops on the logo by the charge sign, and really operates off pivots and little fadeaways there. But I will say, and they're like, Mark Sears does not do that, which is true. But I'll tell you this right now, as somebody coached him for a couple of years, he can do that. But I don't think Alabama wants him to do that. I think Alabama, they want free throws, they want threes, and they want layups, and it's just that simple. With them, and the proof is in the pudding with how they play, but also the genius lies in the detail of that simplicity as well, right? Like they play it same as Purdue. Purdue plays a 60 possession game. They know their offense is going to be way more efficient than the other teams because they have Zach Edey. You know, Alabama wants to play 70 plus, maybe 80 plus possessions because they know over time their threes are going to fall. Their free throws, like, they're just going to rack up, you know, in volume free throws, right? And then once you take both those away, they're going to get layups at the rim, and a lot of guys who are good at it. So let's say this. One stat to look at for that game, and I truly believe this. Whoever has more turnovers against an Alabama against UConn is going to lose the game, and here's why. UConn is one of the best in the country at turning turnovers into points. And, you know, they play a great style of defense, very aggressive, very physical. So if you turn the ball over against UConn, it's 2 points on the other end. And Alabama, conversely, they want to force turnovers too because they want to get the pace going. And once they force turnovers, they are flying up the court. Unlike Purdue, Alabama's flying up the court, and they're going to shoot a three. So turnovers, watch, and then UConn's got to do a really good job of taking away Alabama's assisted threes, right? If they're going to make those tough step backs that aren't just catch and shoot off a pass, you know, let them do it. They're going to make a few, but if Alabama racks up 14, 15, 16 assists, then that's probably not good news for UConn. And I'm talking about UConn. This is what UConn needs to do. UConn's the best team in the country. So, you know, I think they know what they're doing. Other teams have to stop UConn as well. You know, they play a couple different styles of defense with big fella Klingon, who's probably one of the best defensive players in the country. He'll play in a low drop in ball screens when they bring their backup in. They play a hard head. So they kind of, you know, offensively, if you're Alabama, you got to come in with a game plan knowing that there's two different styles of defenses that they play. So there's two different ways in a ball screen to attack them and two different places where to be. So I think UConn is one of the most exciting teams to watch because in the half court, it is, you mentioned the Steph Curry and the Warriors in one sentence, but watching them, their ball movement, stagger screen, flip, reject, curl, hit the five, handoff. Like, it is so fun to watch their offense because it's constant movement. And they're going to make defenses play for 25 seconds once if the opponents make a shot against them, which with a team like Alabama, who's a little impatient defensively because they want to get the offense, it'll be a fun storyline to watch in that game as well.
And we all know if you're trying to force you know, turnovers to get those takeaways, you might get a little antsy. You might see something, get a little selfish out there, trying to go for a steal. You're out of position, no rotation. All right, you mentioned two defenses from UConn. Let's go into that. Take us to the whiteboard. What are they doing?
So when Klingon's in the game, he's one of the best rim protectors. So they're going to, much like Purdue does, they're going to funnel everything to him. And they're going to say, go ahead. If we're going to pressure you on the perimeter, we're going to be physical. If you want to drive, go deal with him, you know, a very gifted shot blocker down low. So when they do that in ball screens, he's going to play a low drop. He's just going to back up. And especially against Alabama, knowing that they don't want to shoot the mid-rangers, which is what they kind of give up with Klingon in the game, they're just going to dare them to get to the rim, and you're going to see him jump vertically with two hands in the air as if not to foul. You're going to see that a ton. And it'll be, can Alabama make those tough shots, right, at the rim? Because you know they're really not trying to pull up, which is what you give in a drop situation. So, and then when their backup comes in, they play a hard hedge, which he'll get out there and show ball screens, leaving the corner skips open, which, you know, now it's on Mark Sears, it's on the ball handler to find that corner skip and get those assisted threes that they covet so much that we talked about.
Wow, this is great. You're out there, you're in Phoenix.
We are nerding out.
I love it.
We are nerding out.
I love this. This is, you know, this is game theory right here. This is what I'm here for, Coach Barlow. Now you're out there. Now this is what I'm really here for. Who's all out there? What's going on? Who are you talking to? Like, what's happening? Give us a day-to-day rundown.
Oh, man, it can be really cliche. I hate the cliche. If you know anything about me, I hate cliche things, like especially with people and fake and forced interaction. So here's what you have to know about the Final Four when you come down here. Pretty much 80% of coaches, college basketball coaches in the country, you know, Division I, II, III, head coach, assistant coach, Dobos, whoever, they come to this. It's a huge networking event. The NABC convention's down here. So you see a lot of different people. You see a ton of people. But when you walk up to people, it's like, you know, we haven't seen each other in a while. I know who you are. You know who I am. We don't really talk regularly. So it's, oh, hey, man, when did you get in? And then you say, when your flight got in, you feel obligated to ask them as well. And then the next question, where are you staying? Because, you know, Phoenix is kind of spread out. You got Tempe, you got Scottsdale, you got downtown. And then, oh, okay. And then you ask them, oh, when do you leave? And then after that, the conversation is over while they briefly glance at your polo just to make sure they're still with the team that they thought you were at. So very, very sometimes cliche. And you know I hate that, Bellino. You know I hate that stuff.
Oh.
Like, hey, man, you know me. I know you. Let's talk. Let's chop it up. We're going to do that. But let's not be fake and have these forced interactions, Bellino. Let's not do it.
Is there anybody that you're going out there? Like, if I was going out to the Final Four now, I'd be looking for Coach Barlow, right? And then I'd be looking for Dusty May because I want to talk to those guys. But is there anybody that you're looking for? Is there somebody out there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the guys that, you know, that I'm looking for and to hang out with, they're very similar to me. They kind of keep a low profile. you know, maybe they don't go to the where all the head coaches stay with your resume in the in your hand in the lobby, hoping to see Dusty May or so and so head coach. You know, the guys I like to hang out with are the guys who kind of keep a low profile, kind of in the back a little bit, not going to all the organized stuff all the time. So, yeah, a couple guys, definitely very excited to catch up with some people I haven't seen in a long time, but talk to regularly.
This guy does a network radio hit every week and then tries to tell everybody he's trying to keep a low profile. That's why we love him. He's the coach, Kyle Barlow. Find him on Twitter at KyleBarlow4. Send your kids recruiting tapes there. Coach Barlow, my friend, as always, a pleasure. Enjoy the Final Four.
Thank you, man. See ya.
Boy, just great. I mean, you know, this guy is trying to keep a low profile. And as I mentioned, does network radio every week, but wants to keep a low profile. I mean, what an oxymoron that is. But no, I think that it is, it's just what an event it is going to be. Love his breakdown there of Purdue and his breakdown of UConn as well defensively, what they want to do. So look for those things. And very interested to see how DJ Burns and Zach Edey go head-to-head against one another. Excited to see what they look like next to each other because DJ Burns listed at 6'9". Is he really 6'9"? Although Zach Edey's listed at 6'4", or pardon me, 7'4", and they have another 7-footer on their team that's listed at 7'2". But both those guys look like the same height. I'm just saying. Out there in the Matt Painter family farms, what they got going on. The farming the 7-footers. But they have success there, and that's an easy recruiting tool. We'll step aside. More X's and Bros after this. Hour number 3 next on the Michigan Sports Network.
And now to the chopper for our traffic report.
There's a lot of traffic. It must be headed to Meijer for the buy five, save $5 sale. Shop select General Mills family size cereal, Oikos Greek yogurt, and select Coca-Cola or Pepsi products, plus deposit where applicable. All buy five, save $5. Mix or match at Meijer. Plus, you can save $10 on your home delivery or pickup order of $50 or more this Friday and Saturday only.
Okay.
Meijer. Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state. And Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's DoreNMayhew or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
Get ready to win big every Friday in April during Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort's 43rd gaming anniversary. Every hour from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m., two winners will receive $500 in premium play. Then at 10 p.m., one lucky winner will walk away with $4,300 cash. The celebration doesn't stop there. On April 26th at 10 p.m., one lucky player will take home the grand prize of $43,000 cash. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Your getaway reimagined. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Roast Umber is a farm direct coffee sourced from Central American farmers and roasted in Grand Rapids. And also the Nitro cold brew coffee is a convenient and healthy option for energy with no sugar additives. Look for it at your local retailer or at roastumber.com.